We're going to start tonight on the book of Romans. Can we give God some praise for that? Come on now. Now, the four Gospels introduce us to Jesus' ministry, right? Then the book of Acts is what the church started doing in order to be able to fulfill what Jesus taught us in the four Gospels. Then the book of Romans gives us the operation of the church based on what the church is supposed to do and how to conduct itself. Romans, of course, all of the other books that's in the Bible, they do that. They show us how to be able to utilize what Jesus taught us. So we're going to begin in the book of Romans. We'll give you a little bit of history. Actually, because of the book of Romans is such an important book and big book to the New Testament, we're going to take a lot of time and throw in various, tidbits concerning history from the book of Romans. We just dedicated a new deaconess here, of course, as Phoebe in the Bible was also a deaconess, and of course that is in the book of Romans. There's a lot of things in the book of Romans. Romans 4:17 is there, where Abraham is talking about being that God caused him to be the father of faith and caused him to have children when he did not see that that could happen, but God caused it to happen, and that we walk by faith and not by sight. That's in the book of Romans. There's a whole lot in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, though, is where we're going to go to tonight. And I'm going to skip down to about verse 17 or so. And we're going to start doing some study from there based on what's happening in our nation, because this is a lifestyle ministry. We're going to talk about that and about the violence. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll look at that and find out what's going on. And, of course, our hearts go out to Charlie Kirk's family. If you did not know of him or you did not know him, he was a man that started a youth revival. 100 million people would watch his broadcast every month. And he was starting to go on college campuses preaching the truth of the gospel as well as talking about what was right politically based on the Word of God. He would compare it with the Word of God. Very strong Christian, had just gotten married 4 years ago and just had a couple of little children, and he was shot, he was assassinated today while he was preparing to preach the gospel, and he loved to be able to have those that didn't agree with him, he would have them to actually speak, and he'd bring them to the front of the auditorium or to the facility and let them talk and tell their reason why they didn't believe in God or didn't believe in the way that he was thinking. Of course, some of what he was saying was political. He was assassinated today. At the University of Utah, Utah Valley, I believe. But anyhow, he was assassinated. We were watching television when it happened. And it was unbelievable to see what happened. A lot of the video that they showed early, they're not showing now, but you can find it online. I wouldn't look for it. But this is a serious time. Okay? This is a serious time. I don't know what exactly time it is, but I know it's time for... Yeah, he's 31 years old. Pick up your microphone, Ms. Shorter, and talk.
I forgot I even had a microphone.
She's
I'm looking
me.
At my microphone and
saying, what is that thing?
I mean, I didn't forget I had it, but,
I want to hear your comments, though.
Yeah, he was 31 years old. Just really sad.
Yeah.
Because we knew of him.
Right. He was supposed to be in
Washington State. Yeah.
In Puyallup.
At a church
out on 160th and Meridian. And the protests were so strong in this state and in this city until they had to cancel him coming to the city. That's how strong people against your Jesus are. So, folks, we had better know what time it is. We're in the last days. I'd say the beginning. I always say the beginning of the last days because I don't know exactly where we are. But we're in the last days. Now, I'll say this because I want to comfort our own congregation. 2 days ago, the Spirit of the Lord said, do not wait any longer. Have a security meeting with all Helps Ministry workers at this church. I'm getting ringing. I'm getting some feedback. Probably monitor. He said, do not wait. Have it this Sunday. So I contacted our head of security and also our choir leaders, and I told them we cannot have choir rehearsal until later on this coming Sunday because the Lord told me to have a security meeting. This was 2 days ago. I contacted our head of security, said, okay, great, fine. And the Lord said, it's nothing concerning us, but something is going to happen that you're going to want to make sure that people know how to be able to react if there are things that happen within the church. So already scheduled was this Sunday after service for a half an hour from 12:45 to 1:15 is a security meeting for all health ministry workers, all volunteers, in other words, here at PCC. We were going to do how to be able to handle any situation, fire, active shooter, all of that kind of stuff, because you have to do that now. I mean, the second graders, kindergartens, have to learn how to, you know, cover and drop and do all kinds of other stuff, fight or flight.
What if there's some members that just want to be a part of
it? You can come. So we want to make sure of that, that you know about that. But I'm not doing this in response to what happened today, because this nation is in mourning. This nation is upset. Now, if you've been with your head in the sand all day long, I'm sorry you had to work and you got things to do and you don't really get into the news because it's so negative. The Bible says, watch and pray. So if you just close your eyes and pray, you probably don't even know what you're praying about, so just pray in the Spirit. But it's best to watch and pray. It's nothing wrong with knowing what's going on. It's nothing wrong with being well-read in your, about what's going on in your Northwest and this nation. And we need to be that way and stop being, you know, like we're ostriches with our head in the sand. Because that ain't going to help nothing.
Or even fearful. That's one thing
that's right. The
devil really wants
he
to
wants
do.
He wants to scare us.
Is scare Christians.
Right. And from coming together.
Yeah, we cannot become fearful because, you know, we have Jesus in us. And so this life is temporary and we shouldn't run in fear. In fact, the Bible says perfect love will cast out fear. And that just means the love of God. When you trust God and you know that He is your protector, He's your God, He's your Father, then you can be strong. And I believe this man believed that too.
That's right.
And he's in heaven. And so
he's with the Lord.
It's
to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
But
bam,
he was strong
like
for
that.
What he believed in. And now, you know, the devil, he's so stupid.
He's
he thinks
stupid.
He can kill Christians, and they're going to, you know, a person just going to hide and shut up.
Didn't work with Jesus,
now,
didn't work with Paul, ain't going to work with us.
The voices are even louder. And I believe there's going to be, I believe on campuses, there's going to be
a lot of
young people rising up all over this country. They're going to rise up and step up and step into the void that now this young man
10 20 30
is,
50 100 100,000
yeah, I believe that
Charlie
you're
going to
see that you're going to see young
up.
People that is
they're
upset
us.
About this today, and they're going to turn that energy of being upset into something positive. And I believe it'll be a revival with the young people because they're going to stand up strong.
That's right.
And they're going to talk about Jesus because this man talked about Jesus
a lot. He promoted family.
Yeah.
Being married. Now he's talking to college students about being married and having children and being responsible and loving God and giving your life to Jesus and all this kind of stuff and not killing people. He wasn't for violence. I've never met the man, but we know of him and have known of his ministry and heard him speak many times. He was on TBN, the same network we're on. And he comes on a regular basis. And so it's just a sad situation, but the enemy, what he did for bad, God will make into good, because believe me, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, ain't nothing happened. And Lord, while we were waiting to see if he was going to make it through, because they shot this man, one shot, it must have been a professional marksman, but anyhow, he shot this Charlie Kirk, shot him in the neck, and when I heard that, I started praying. We both started praying. We were so emotional about the whole thing because we're watching this whole thing go on. And the Lord put in my heart, I got him. Don't worry. You know, no matter what happens. See, and you got to get that way to where your faith goes beyond this life. Okay? Because that's what we really believing is that God is with us to deliver us forever. You know, he'll never leave you. I mean, never leave you or forsake you. And so it's unfortunate. I don't believe it was God's will. I believe the enemy had an opportunity, and he took it. So we're beefing up security. Y'all need to know that. We are not playing. You may see some things that are a little different, like a wand come out, and you've got to be wand to come into church. So we make sure you have no weapon. We may have to check some of you ladies' purses. If you don't like that, don't come, but you go to the fair. You go to ball games. We may have to do that, but we're not going to do it all the time. So we're just letting you know, when we feel like there's something we need to do, we'll do that. We have security on site, armed security, in several places in this place. And the reason I say that is because apparently this pattern of practice is to find Mayberry RFD cities where an event is going on outside, get up on the roof with a long gun, take a long shot, and see if you can be able to hit the target. Because we know it's a soft city with just a very weak, weak police presence there. Because it's a small city, there's never, they talked about, we never have this kind of thing. Well, that means that they're not on, you know, way up there as far as security concerns. We're the opposite. We're watching anybody and everybody. And if you bring a visitor in here, you need to let them know. They are very security conscious, so leave your bag in the car. You don't need that backpack, brother. Just take your Bible.
Now, our faith is not into this, but you know,
nope. But we're not stupid either.
When we live in this world, that's where watch and pray come in. So there's practical things we could do as much as we can. Right. But of course, our trust is in the Lord, and it'll stay in the Lord for divine protection. But we have to be vigilant as believers now. And as a church, we need to be vigilant because the devil, he just, you know, he comes to steal,
kill,
and to destroy. So if we know what he's all about, and because of where we live nowadays, it's just we have to be wise. And so that's just wise to do what we have to do.
You know, and people say,
practical.
People say, well, how did that happen?
Dirty.
How did that happen? Maybe he didn't have the prayer covering he needed. Maybe we could have prayed preventively. I'm not saying us, but the folks in his group. Or maybe he needed more prayer covering. He's got millions and hundreds of millions of people that he's affecting and talking to and angrily getting mad at him. And I'm just using him as an example. Of course, I don't know nothing about their ministry. And I'm not trying to put their ministry down or their security down. He had his own security. But see, why did God allow this? Maybe the prayer covering was down, or maybe God just said, we'll use his life. I love him so much, I'm going to just bring him anyhow. We'll use his life to generate something. Well, Jesus was a martyr.
And then, you know what, we always think
it's not God's will for us to die.
I always think of it this way, too. When you're close to death like that, I really believe Christians will have a conversation with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't know. Because they did say that he put his hand up, you know, when he got shot. And so you don't know what kind of conversation he had with God, and maybe he was ready to go too. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we don't have to know everything.
Yeah.
But we should know that God is our, you know, that God watches over us. He protecting us, and we know that this world is temporary anyhow, and we know that we all will go to a better place
right.
than this world. And so
you say, is that God's
fear.
Will? No, because the Bible says in Psalms 91, 1,000 may fall to my side, 10,000 to my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall see what is coming on those that are living an evil life, paraphrase. So I'm not saying that God allowed him to just whatever. And you know this happens.
And
with
you don't
what
know
about
what
the
people saying either?
Yeah.
You don't know what we say from our mouths.
Yeah, to open up the door.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know.
So and
could
you know, just like God did not, it wasn't his will for those children, two children, just 2 weeks ago, to be shot and killed in their Christian school. Okay, little babies shot and killed in a Christian school. That's not God's will. See, and one thing that this nation is dealing with, and I really want to talk about this. Keep talking about mental illness. Listen, I wrote the book by the insight of the Holy Spirit, two of them. One called Casting Down Imaginations, Take Control of Your Thoughts, and winning against all odds. Well, actually three that deal somewhat with this, but definitely take control of your thoughts. God showed me this is not just a mind thing. So we can be able to try to help people with mental illness, but there's some demonic influences that causes evil to come. And until our governmental agencies and everybody else realize that the psychologist is like a soothsayer sometime, he doesn't know everything because there's another window to go through, which is the window of the spirit. God is a spirit, and we are made in the image of God, so we are a spirit. And we have to deal with the spiritual things. And when people start taking drugs, the drugs in the Greek, the word is pharmakia. That word pharmakia is where we get pharmacy from, and that affects the psyche, which can open the door for the enemy and allow demons to have rule in that life. That's why you don't take drugs, because you'll find out you didn't know what you was doing. In fact, the man that stabbed the woman on the train, y'all didn't see that either, huh? Okay, how many saw that? Put your hand up. I'm trying to find out.
No, how many did?
How many saw that report about the woman getting stabbed on the train, okay? Okay, because see, we got to watch and pray, because how are you going to pray for people if we don't know what's going on? I'm not telling you to become a news junkie, but you got to know what's going on around you, because there's stuff going on around us we need to be praying for. Okay, so anyhow, I'm talking a lot right now, but I have to, because I have to, a congregation I got to give an account for. Okay, so I want everybody safe up in here, because I'll do whatever I got to do to keep you safe, because I ain't getting up in front of God and he said, well, now why didn't you do something? Why didn't you do this?
You can be seated.
You can go ahead and be seated. But I'm not. I'm going to stand up. I've been sitting for a long time. So I'm saying to you folks, as we go into the book of Romans, we're going to see this. We're going to actually go back to the book of Proverbs for one or two scriptures just to find out, how does this evil even get started? Because this is evil. It's not just mental illness. It's demonic stuff. And when you're inviting people here, you need to know, if they look a little weird, we're going to watch them. We have to. We want the world. We just did Jesus in the park, where we yielded ourselves to the park and stood out there and preached about Jesus unabashedly, and didn't care what anybody thought about us, but we prayed for safety before we got there. Because we could have had the same kind of nuts up on a hill, but God prevented that. He prevented that, okay? So that wasn't allowed to happen, and we pray it's not allowed to happen for anyone. So what we do is this man or whoever, even if you're going to stand for the children that were killed in their school or for the
you didn't finish
what was that? The woman that stabbed, okay, the man that stabbed the woman on the train. I guess it was on the train. It was on one of these, like, sounder trains, not here, but it was in another city, in Richmond. Was it Richmond? Virginia? No, it was in North Carolina. Yeah, it was in North Carolina. Stabbed this woman who was just sitting there in the neck three times, and instantly she falls over and kills her. Now, that was the top news. That was the news cycle yesterday for the last 2 days, until this happened today at 12 noon. This took over the news cycle. Folks, something's wrong. And that man, I heard him in an interview that he talked to his sister from jail, said, I don't know what happened. I don't remember doing it. I don't know what happened. I guess I just did that. He says, it's something that was put in me. Folks, we're dealing with demonic forces, sometimes coming in through some of the medicine, or sometimes coming through just people getting involved with drugs, or sometimes people just being involved with evil. But there is a spiritual side to every life on the planet. Did you hear what I just said? So thank God you're protected. Thank God you got a relationship with God, where you know that God is watching over you. And that's why before you leave here, every time you come, we always pray Isaiah 54:17. Put it up there, please. Isaiah 54:17. This is what we pray on your life before you leave here, to make sure that God is taking care of you. And I, with all my heart, believe what this scripture says. No weapon formed or trained against you shall prosper. It's not going to make its mark. And every tongue, how many tongues?
Every.
That's people that's talking about you. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. So it doesn't work unless you condemn it. See, because people will talk negative. There's people probably talking negative about what I'm saying right now. I don't give a rip, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn. Now, if you don't condemn it, it's not condemned. Condemnation notice is where you put a notice, like, for example, on a house, and it's uninhabitable. In other words, those words don't even work no more. Are you getting this? This is the heritage. In other words, we inherit this when we come into the kingdom of God, so you have no reason to be fearful. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Well, if the servants get it, what about the family members? What about the sons and the daughters? Certainly we get this.
And see, we have to release our faith. You know, we're a word of faith ministry. We have to release our faith through words.
Believing.
Yeah, and actions.
Right.
And so we need to speak this over
That's
our
right.
lives. And
pray
sometimes
it.
You have to pray against
pray
what
it.
You hear on TV. You can't, and see, and that's opening the door when you don't shut things down. I mean, there's times where you have to shut down relatives. If they say something stupid over your life, you have to shut them down. I remember my sister said something, you know, and I was so quick in responding. I didn't know how quick I was quick. I said, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I don't receive that, you know, because you can't let
words
that's against the word of God get into or penetrate, okay, your spirit, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. And so you have to shut down words really quick, even the words that somebody else says mm-hmm. about you, or even television. They'll say stupid stuff. Some of the commercials, I said, not in our house in Jesus' name. You have to shut. So, you know, it's a fight of faith, and this may sound silly to some of you, but it's not silly. It's the word of God. We can show you scriptures and teach you. But, you know, we've taught a lot of this years ago. And we're going to resurrect a lot of teaching this again. But your words are very powerful. And so, you know, we just don't know, you know, things has been said or whatever. But you have to shut things down quick, because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn those words.
You don't condemn it. It's
you
not condemned.
You should do it. You're on this
earth.
Well,
I thought God would do it. No,
authority.
God gave you the authority to do
now.
It.
Yep.
So if condemn. You don't do it, and this goes when you go to the doctor.
Yep.
And you get a report. Yeah, I want to know what's going on, but I don't need you to tell me it's going to happen to me. I may be dealing with that condition. I admit that I'm sick. How can I need healing if I'm not sick? So, yeah, I'm dealing with a sickness, or I'm dealing with an attack from the enemy. But I'm not owning this. Mm-hmm. This ain't mine. Mm-hmm. I rebuke this thing in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. I told you about the growth that was in my chest that the devil told me for 2 years that it was cancer. While I was in 6.5 years of fog, right? For 2 years, the thing grew, got so big until it almost was popping out my shirt. And I started cursing it. I said, you know, I call you dissolved, disappeared, and dead at the root. And I said it again and again for a year and a half. Dissolved, disappeared, dead in the root. Thing got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and the devil just told me, it's cancer. It's cancer. It's cancer. It's cancer. I said, shut up. It is not. It's not cancer. It's cancer. It's cancer. In fact, he told me what type of cancer. He said, it's a lymphoma cancer. I said, really? Yeah, it's a growth in your chest, and it's lymphoma cancer. I'm sitting up here going to church, but, you know, trying to rebuke this all my time that I was here. And I had to be able to come against this thing, and then it got so big because I just kept saying, I call you dissolved, disappeared, and dead at the root in Jesus' name. And it's just getting bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, the thing got real big, and then it started seeping pus, stinky pus. Some pus that stank. And so I went to Google. Google helped me out on that one. And I Googled having cancer and a lump, and it's releasing. And it said, no, cancer doesn't do that. I said, thank you, Google. I'll take that one. A little bit of AI for go along with my HI, my Holy Spirit intelligence. So I took that and it helped me to believe even more. So finally, my wife said, you need to go there. Well, the thing bust open, some little thing came out, you know? And I was like, this is gross and it stinks so bad. And so anyhow, so I went to this doctor, you know, dermatologist, old guy that's been there forever from India. And he, you've got, it's not cancer. It's not cancer. It's cyst. And I was like, praise the Lord. Because I thought the enemy was telling me I'm going to die. So you got to use your words to come against these things. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Yeah, I know. And you shall condemn. You shall, this is the heritage. This is what you inherited as servants of the Lord and the righteousness of me, says the Lord. All right. Now, let's open up and let's go into what we're going to go into today in Jesus' name. And I believe it's sort of a bonus service. How's that? Because we're in between Romans and Proverbs, but we're starting with Romans, but not really officially. Why don't you go ahead and pray? I've talked enough.
Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you, and we're so grateful that we can come to you in the name of your Son, mm-hmm. Jesus. And Father, we know that really this life is just temporary, God, mm-hmm. and we are so grateful that you have given us eternal life, and it starts the day we receive you, your Son, as our personal Savior. So we thank you for eternal life. And Father, we thank you once again for your comforter, the Holy Spirit, to comfort Charlie Kirk's wife and young children, yes. God. Only you yes. can comfort them the
and
way that you can comfort. And then those that are grieving because of this young man, God, just send the comfort of the Holy Spirit
yes.
in this country in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that we still have the victory in you, God. And we
yes.
know, Father, in Jesus' name, that you're with us to deliver us.
Yes.
And so we thank you, Lord, for this service. Holy Spirit, you are here to lead us into all truth and to teach us. And we're ready for to be taught by the Holy Spirit tonight. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us and leading us into all truth, for revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding from above. We give you all the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. With me to Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. I want to finish what we were saying off there, because if we can really put faith in what God says, especially when we put it in our own mouths, even to condemn what the enemy's trying to put on us, Hebrews 4 and 12, not 12 and 4, please. Sorry about that. 4 and 12, please. Hebrews 4 and 12. I want you to never forget this particular scripture. Hebrews 4 and 12, not 12 and 4. Please, if you could change that over. Hebrews 4 and 12. This is important. It says, and see, what we have to do is to settle that the word of God does not change. That if I hear it, if I read it, if I get it, that's what it is.
Yes.
And too many people read the Bible like a storybook, like a novel, like a, you know, a fiction novel that they're reading. And that, you know, could be, it's a good book along with, you know, Gone with the Wind or some other book you're reading. You know, Uncle Tom's Cabin or something.
What's can that? We hold our finger there and go to Romans real quick? Because it goes before
sure.
we read this
go
scripture.
Ahead.
Go to Romans 15:4, because I want to plant this in your head as we read the Bible tonight, because the Bible says everything written in the scripture were written to teach us. So let's just read that real quick. No, I can't. You know, I'm trying to do a lot of stuff with my hands here. Okay. Romans, let's see.
You want me to turn your pages?
No, I'll get it. Romans, what did I say? What did I say, you guys?
15:4.
It says, for whatever things were written before, okay, even in the Old Testament, were written for our learning. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
So when we get ready to read the scripture that Pastor Shorter is going to, it's for us to learn, to have knowledge. See, we're a teaching church too. Yeah, we preach. Preaching is for inspiration, to get inspired, you know. And, oh, gosh, yeah, we can do it, we can do it. But teaching is for information, for
revelation.
And revelation. So we can learn, so we can apply the things that we're learning. So it says, for whatever things, say whatever things.
That
includes everything. Were written before, were written for our learning. And so sometimes I'll just take it to tithes and offering, but that tithing scripture that we don't like to read no more sometimes, you know, the people don't like to read, not us. But everything is written for us to learn from. And it says that we, through the patience and comfort of the scripture, might have hope. Okay? So put that in your knowledge, your head, your thoughts, and turn back to where Pastor Shorter was going in Hebrews. And so we know that we should learn something from this scripture.
So we already touched the book of Romans, I guess. Okay. Hebrews chapter 4 and 12. Look at this. This is a powerful scripture. I'm going to read it out of a couple of different translations. It says, for the word of God, say the word of God.
The word of God.
You can go to college till you have taken every course on the planet. It will not do you what the word of God will do you. It will not do the same. You need the word of God. Because you're going to find out why. It says the word of God is living. Go to King James Version. I like the old stuff. Yeah. Let's go there first. And we'll come back to the new stuff. King James Version, it says, for the word of God is quick. Mm-hmm. It's alive. Mm-hmm. You know, when a person is quickened, they come alive. Okay? For the word of God. See, this is what I'm talking about. When you say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt condemn. I'm condemning that in Jesus' name. I condemn those words. That word, because you are quoting the word, well, even when you pray for your food, I don't just pray, Lord, help my food. Help me to eat it. Help me with the food. Food be helped. Amen. I don't do that. I quote a scripture about the food. The Bible says that the food is sanctified with the word of God and prayer.
That's right.
So I'll pray that word over my food.
That's right.
Father, I call this food sanctified with the word of God and prayer, which I did. The word of God is what I just said. It's sanctified by the word of God and prayer.
Set aside
for me, so it may have something in it that ain't supposed to, but that ain't for me because it's sanctified. It's set aside for me. Because I just used the word, because the word of law, God is quick. And look at the next word. It's powerful.
And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you, because I have that testimony.
That's right.
We were on vacation in Hawaii, and this girl poisoned my coffee. And
you sure did.
And
you got to watch coffee, especially when you're traveling. You got to watch coffee because it can hide. We didn't know this, but we found it out later from the physicians. Yeah, I didn't want to hide that. I want to present that. I believe that you need to watch drinking coffee when you're in strange places. Okay? And we were at Turtle Bay, which is on the other side of Honolulu, which is an exclusive kind of place that you go to, and you see the little turtles and all
and
that kind
of
stuff.
And the girl was not pleasant with me
she
when I walked in.
She liked talking to me, but she didn't like talking to her.
Yeah, and it's a true story. Some of you guys heard the story already. But and so she wasn't kind to me, and it was a sign next to a T-shirt, and it said, if you ask for this T-shirt, then we'll give it to you.
If we like you.
Yeah, or something like that. But anyway, so I asked for it, and she was very rude to me and said, I'm not going to give you that T-shirt. Well, now we've learned if people are rude to us, we're just going to walk out of the restaurant. We're not going to sit down. So she happened to be the waitress for us. And
let me insert.
Go on.
Go where your favor is. Why sit there and argue with people that hate your guts? While you're arguing and trying to get people to do certain, we walked out of a restaurant today, not because of anything unfavorable, but we're saying, okay, if it's not going that well right now, how is it going to continue to go? We might as well quit this now.
So I asked
because ain't no sense in trying to make people like you.
Yeah, and so I asked for some coffee, and so she had put something in my coffee. I didn't know that, but. You know, God protected me. And for some reason, I didn't want to drink, because usually I have like 3 or 4 cups of coffee, you know. for some reason that particular time, I only sipped just a little bit mm-hmm. of just, I mean, just maybe one little sip, you know, and I didn't drink anything else. And it was not long after that, after we left the restaurant, we went back to our hotel, which was close by that restaurant, so it was in walking distance. And then, I mean, my whole world just turned upside. I mean, I start, the room starts spinning around, and I lost the whole total use of my body.
Yeah.
I lost, and then I start, and I told my husband, I said, if I'm going to die, I don't want to die in Hawaii. I said, you got to get me home somehow. You got to, I mean, and I said, I'm, you know, you know, just everything just start, I start losing everything, you know, of my being able to control myself and stuff. And then we start coming against,
against this poison. It. Our words work because it's the word of God.
Yep. And then it wasn't long after that. Then I, just everything just came
turned
up.
Turned back around.
Out of me. And God allowed that to happen too.
It came out.
And so, you know, we were going to go back over there and just start this whole thing with them. But we said, what's the sense? You know, we're out of town. We're just, let's get out of this place and never come back, you know. And so I know that the Bible says that if there's any deadly thing that you may drink, it will not harm you.
That's right.
And that, just think about, that was just one little sip of that. What if I would have drank it, like three cups of coffee? And that all happened in one little sip. And so...
stop fighting to try to get people to like you. Because while you're fighting to get...
No, I'm not saying that about that.
Okay. I'm saying that about other things that the Lord's put in my heart. Some of you are trying to get a job. They don't want to hire you. While you're sitting there arguing about this, there's a job waiting for you. They're just going to love you when you get there. Why not go where your favor is? People don't like you, so what? Who gives a rip? There are so many people on this planet, and there's a lot of them that like you. You just haven't met them. And so you sit there, you're just pounding your head against the wall, and there's an open door right next to it. Why do that? Why waste your time? See, and I said this to my wife. In fact, we're in Hebrews. I've started this. Let me go ahead and finish this. It says, for the word is alive or quick and full of power. I like to say full of power or powerful, meaning that the word will change situations. This is why I'm saying maybe Charlie needed more prayer over him, because he's got a big tent he's got now. And he just needed more covering. And the more this, I remember when we went to visit Dr. Fred Price down in Los Angeles, when he was on worldwide television strongly, especially all over the world anyhow. And he was the first African-American man to actually be on for an hour every Sunday on television around the world. First African-American man to do that with his afro. And God has assigned me to be under him as one of his sons in the ministry, along with Godot, who is also one that actually was part of that. But anyhow, we went to visit his ministry. And he was now around the world. Okay, he wasn't just in Los Angeles, wasn't just in New York and Chicago, and he was around the world. And what I know that the engine of any church is the prayer. So I asked him, and it was like asking, can I go to walk through heaven? I said, can I go into your intercessory prayer room? And they were like, I don't know. They said, okay, but you can only stay about 10 minutes. I said, really? I said, yes. What we're doing is serious, y'all. And so they let Kathy and I come in there, and that was the missionaries from Nigeria or Ghana, the ones that you know, Danae. You know their daughters. Anyhow, they were here. But they hadn't gone, I don't think, on the mission field yet. And they were praying in that room. It was actually a trailer that, you know, one of those school trailers that they put up at schools. And when you walked, I get chill bumps just talking about it. When you walk through that door, because they was like, prep you before you get. Now, wait a minute. Now, when you go in there, you can't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Don't bother these people. They were paid intercessors. They're 24 hours a day in right outside of Watts. 24 hours a day praying for that ministry and that man of God and his family. And we walked in there, and it was like, whoa, this is serious stuff. There was one of the men was from Africa. He was praying. And I was like, man, this is serious. Man, this is serious. You can't just come up in here. And they were praying, and they were doing that 24 hours a day. They paid intercessors to be in that place praying. That's how he was allowed to go around the world and be protected. That's the reason why God caused him to have a congregation of 20,000 people. And we sit here and we just, Lord Jesus, bless my soda pop and my biscuit. In Jesus' name, amen. I bind you, Satan, for my biscuit. Yeah, you got to get a little more serious than that. Yeah,
I was in there tonight. We had a great time.
I heard you. I heard y'all. See, but as we increase in ministry, we have to increase our prayer. Because yeah. Really, truly, the church can go no further than its prayer. Yeah. And not everybody is an intercessor. Mm-hmm. Some people, they'll be in fall asleep over in the corner somewhere. There's people that are really, that's their life. Yeah. Is praying and interceding. You need that. And if you don't have that, you're held back. I heard that prayer. It just knocked me to the side. And I said, man, we came back and we said, well, had already been doing intercessory prayer. We said, we got to kick it up. But God wants you to know that it's powerful. The word of God is powerful. Well, what is it when it gets in your mouth? Does it get weak all of a sudden? No, it's still powerful. So you got to say it with power. You got to know what you're talking about is power. I mean, to move things, to change things. People get in your way, pray. Father, remove them. We pray a prayer in this intercessory prayer. We pray it all the time. And I don't apologize. At one point we said, maybe we shouldn't pray this. We pray expose, reveal, and remove those that are not right in the leadership of this ministry. Expose. Expose, reveal what's going on, and remove them if they're not right. Now, that's a serious prayer to pray.
And then we pray to replace them. You know,
that's right. Stuff.
But that is a powerful prayer, and sometimes people think they left, but they were removed. Because we believe what we're praying, because we want to be on one accord in this ministry, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you're married, you want to be on one accord with
That's
your spouse.
Right.
You don't want all that fussing and bickering and, you know, division and can't get along mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. You want a peaceful household.
That's right.
And we want a peaceful church.
That's why it's called Pacific Christian.
And we want people peaceful. That are with us, and because it's sort of like this young man that, you know, was assassinated. I mean, he just cared about Jesus
and his family
and his family
and
he
country.
Made that statement mm-hmm. That we heard that, you know, that his children, his family, you know, they're very important to him. But what I'm saying is that we want to have peace in this ministry, and
yes.
and we're just here teaching the word of God,
yep,
the uncompromising word of God. And so we're not here to, you know, try to set up our kingdom. We're here because we're part of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And so we're not ashamed of the gospel. And,
right.
And we want to minister life to the people. And
right.
we're doing all that. So we want people to be on one accord with us. Because you know what? We can complain about everything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and we have to learn how to be grateful and thankful.
That's right.
And sometimes we are so unthankful and ungrateful. Do you know you can actually remove yourself from situation being ungrateful?
Fire yourself.
And then you don't even know how you got there. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, boy, now I missed that situation or I missed that job. Well, you complained about it so much, and now you're out of that job. They done fired you or, you know, the company moved or something. and you don't complain and complain about it so much, and you got yourself out of that job,
right?
You know, and so
your mouth did,
and so death and life is in the power of the tongue. And so, you know, just because you have a few, you know, mishaps with people in that company and stuff, don't mean the whole company is bad. You know, and I had to remove a nurse one time. She was putting too much pressure. Now I know that's important because of what we've been going through, you know, with one of our deaconesses. And so I remember when I had a C-section, and if you ever had a C-section, you know that it's just an awful thing and very painful to have. And so this nurse, yeah, she was putting too much pressure on me. She was so heavy-handed, and she was putting too much pressure on me. And I said, she got to get removed. So because she is just not, this is not
she's
good. She's causing more harm than good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, on my physical body. And so I prayed. I asked God. I said, remove her and replace her with someone that's going to care about me, is going to take care of me. And then he replaced the nurse with, and I didn't even recognize her when she walked in the room. This is a true story, another true story. And she came walking in the room, and she remembered me. I didn't remember her because she was younger than me. And we went to the same Baptist church when I was a teenager. Now she's a nurse. And so she said, I'm your new nurse. The other one was removed from you. and then she looked at me, you know, she said, Kathy. And I said, hi, do I know you? And so she told me who she was. And then we started laughing. I said, oh, my goodness. And said, so you're my nurse. And she said, yeah. She said, you want a milkshake? You want anything? And so, I mean, I was treated so good. And then she was, I mean, when she did the things that she had to do with me because of my stomach, you know, having an operation, she just, her hands were like from heaven. You know, she did the same thing, only was very gentle and got the job done, what she needed to do. So God, he does hear you when you pray, if your heart is right and the intent is right. And he knows the heart and the intent of mm-hmm. other people. So if they're wrong and stuff, God's going to take care of you. He will fight your battles. And so you need to know that you don't have to try to get revenge or mm-hmm. Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You don't have to try to go after people, because that's not the love of God. All you do is just turn that over to the Lord, and the Lord will take care of it way he needs to take care of it. And so
even little things like that, you may say, well, God cares about the nurse that's, you know, putting pressure. He cares about everything.
Well,
about
a woman right now, and I'm not going to go into, she's dealing with situation right now because of the mistake that they did. One of the things that they did, that they did it the wrong way. And then you took a picture
yesterday.
We were in a hospital yesterday, and he took a picture of, you want to explain it real quick?
Yeah.
We're not going to go into
but
real
you have
detail
to realize
of it, but
that
they had a sign.
You have to watch what's going on with you, okay?
I don't know how we got into this, but
yeah,
you
but
know.
You know, because we need to know that you need to pray. You're in more control than you think you are. You're in more control, and we're waiting for God. And I remember Apostle Price used to say it all the time. God is waiting for you.
Yeah.
You need to know that God is waiting for you. We're always waiting. Well, when God does it, and then if you wait on that scripture about, you know, whatever is condemned by you is condemned, you waiting on God to do it, you wait forever because God's not going to do it. You're not following the scriptures. The scripture says that you have to condemn that. And there's a photo I'm looking at right now.
Well,
that
the reason why I want you to bring that up, because, you know, some of you may say, well, that's a little thing. No, because if you put pressure the wrong way on somebody's physical body, like my daughter, we just innocently went to,
I remember that.
Danae, what was that?
A
massage. Or, you know, those, what do you call it? Daytime spa thing.
Yeah.
And the lady, she put too much pressure on Danae's back. And Danae, was it the next day or the same day or a week after that? The next day. She got up to get up in the morning, couldn't walk. She couldn't use her legs.
Yeah.
And because the lady was doing something, putting too much pressure on her spine. And we didn't know that, but her best friend is a, she went to school and became a, oh, what do you call it? Help me out, Donald. No, not a massage therapist. She's a therapist, okay? She's a physical therapist.
Physical.
And so Danae called her up and told her what happened, and she said, she put too much pressure on your nerves. And she told your spine, and she told Danae what she needed to do. Now, this girl, you know, she's living in another state. She moved to another state. She used to live here. And she told Danae exactly what to do to recover from this. And so the reason why I told you, because we may think that's, why she want her removed? Because she put too much pressure. Well, you don't know what kind of damage could have been done. But it wasn't pleasant for me, and it wasn't helping me, and so I had to have her removed. Well, we saw this sign yesterday, and so people can, you know, sort of like the devil try to kill you. And I told Pastor Shar, I said, you don't need that medicine. Now, I didn't say, thus says the Lord. I wish I had said that.
Me too.
Because it was in my spirit, and I said it twice. I said it once with the lady sitting there. I said, don't take this. He doesn't need this medicine,
Yeah, that's what you said.
I said that to her, and I said it just like that. He doesn't need this, okay? And then, you know, he gave her the approval to get it. He said, well, I'm really hurting, Kathy. I said, well, you don't need it. And then when she left, I turned to him. I said, you don't need this, okay? You don't need to take this stuff. And so, and we believe that, of course, the enemy was using her to try to knock him out. And so, you know, we have to pray. We need to really pray and trust God that the right people will be around you, the right people will help you when you need help, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, we're not going to stay prolonged on this because we want to go back to Hebrews. Yeah, we don't even have time to go to that.
I can't. I would send it to PowerPoint.
Yeah.
But our print media folks. Yeah. But
we took a picture of it.
Because
I just happen to read. I like to read things on walls, you know.
Okay, so we went through there, and this we saw this, and all of a sudden, Kathy turned to me and said, listen, this lady is on here because it says Mrs. McClinton died on November 23rd, 2004, while she was a patient at Virginia Mason due to an avoidable medical error.
So the law.
Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
To honor her life, Virginia has.
Virginia Mason
has dedicated itself to eliminating avoidable death and injury. This award is given annually to teach us. Has shown extraordinary effort and devotion to that goal. In other words, this lady, and they got a picture of her, died because of an avoidable error off the staff at Virginia Mason in Seattle.
And I think
part of settlement, I believe, was that they were going to put this on the wall to say this lady was killed in the hospital because they didn't do what was right. So you need to be praying. It's on the wall, okay? I got the picture.
And it's on the wall twice, two different places.
So you can see that. Now, people are walking in there, looking at that on the wall, and they're going in to get treated.
Yeah, a lot of people don't even read things like
but
that.
But see, this shows you that you need to be praying. And the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing what? Even dividing asunder soul and spirit. There's a soul and the spirit. There's a difference between your mind, will, and emotions, which is your soul and your spirit. And all we're talking about is people are mentally messed up, and we need to help these people with mental. I'm so sick of hearing these reporters talking about mental. There's spiritual things that's happening that we need. Only Jesus can deliver, and that's why they can't talk about it. And they won't talk about it. We got to talk about the spiritual side of people, because you are a spirit, because God is a spirit, and we're made in the image of God. Got to move on. Piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow. There's the body. The word of God even goes in between the joints and marrow. Do you know bone marrow operations and cancer? That's so thin to go in between. But the word goes in between. separating of joints and marrow. And is the discerner of the mind, the thoughts, and the intents of the heart.
And I teach that all the time about the intent. See, God knows the intent. You can compliment somebody. Oh, I really like your hair. But inside you're saying, it looks sick. I hope you keep wearing it so you can look stupid. See, God knows that he looks at the heart. And that's what we have to work
wrapping
on,
this up.
We have to work on the heart to
wrapping
make sure we
up.
Have a good heart.
Wrapping this up. Because it's thoughts and intents. It's thoughts and intents. It is the intent of the heart, and you got to watch the intent. You don't know the hearts of people. That's why you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But when you start delivering the word, all of a sudden, the thoughts and the intents can get a little upset. Because I don't like that. I don't like what you're saying, because the word is alive, full of power. Sharp, cutting in between thoughts and intents. So people can act like they're doing something or going somewhere or serving God or that, or really like your church or really like you as a Christian or whatever, but their thoughts and intents, when you start delivering the word, you start using the word, you start seasoning your conversation with the word of God to where they don't even know you speaking the word, all of a sudden the real person starts coming out. And it's like, we can't be friends no more. Why not? Because you too holier than thou or whatever. No, you're just getting too much word and you don't want the word. You don't want to get read. See, because the Holy Spirit will read you. The Word of God will read you. I question if I should say this anymore, but I'm going to say it. Sometimes people are standing up talking to me, and the Lord is telling me they're lying. He's saying they're lying. I just stand there and look at them. I never tell them you're lying, because they know they're lying. Why should I tell them? You know? So I just stand here and look at him. Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have a great afternoon. You liar. See, because the Holy Spirit, when you deal with the word, he will help you through the word to be able to get the HI, the Holy Spirit intelligence, not the AI. You can get that anywhere off of Google. But you can't get HI, that Holy Spirit intelligence.
You want to go to verse 13? I think we should.
Okay.
And there is no creature hidden from his sight, speaking of God's sight.
You can't hide.
But all things, I love this. I mean, this is just, you know,
even right
are
now.
Naked and open to the eyes of God, you
so
could
you
say.
Can put on
to
all
whom
you want
we
to.
Must give an account.
It's so open. God just opens it up. And
hearts.
Sometimes he'll reveal it to people, especially godly men and women of God. He will reveal it. It's already open to God. And sometimes he just take the curtain back. Oh, I see that, Lord. Got
and
that.
I believe he reveals it to us so we can pray first.
That's right. Yeah. And help people. Yeah. It's not to hurt people.
Not just to remove sometimes people, but just to pray and pray that, like you've been talking about, that they come to themselves.
Right.
You know, and what that means is really come to God.
I'm
going to
give you three things about the history of the book of Romans, okay, real quick. Number one, it was written by of course, Peter.
Peter,
I'm
Paul,
sorry, the
Paul.
Church The church started, the church in Rome was started by Peter. The book was written by Paul, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. In AD 58, that's when he was actually staying with Gaius. Remember Gaius? Hello? Remember him?
Yeah.
Gaius, he was at his house, and it was during winter, spring, and it's tied to Acts chapter 20, verse number 3. It talks a little about Paul making the trip. This was his third missionary trip. Phoebe was from this area, that deaconess. Phoebe was from that same area where Paul was at when he was writing this, and she, they believe, actually delivered this book of, well, it's a letter, yeah, of Romans to the Romans while Paul wrote it while he was in Corinth. Sin Creek, which is where, of course, we learned Sunday that Phoebe was from, is in Corinth. Now, I have a couple of photos. I'm going to start showing you photos of us that we received. Can you throw up at least one or two of the photos? We got to get out of here. Okay, that's Dr. Godot and his wife. That's Jerusalem behind us, and that's your pastor and his wife.
And Margaret, wave your hands, because Margaret was able to go with us.
And that is Jerusalem, the Dome of the Rock. You can see it a little bit behind us. But that's when we were in Israel. We went to Malta. We went to Rome. We went to Corinth. We went to Greece. We went to Malta. I said that. Okay, we went to all of these places. We went to the Jordan River. We went to where they had David and Goliath. We went to the Dead Sea. We went to Sodom and Gomorrah area. We went to all of these places and got understanding. And I recorded most of my tour guides that were on the bus. The first place we went to was what they call Bethlehem, which is actually Bethlehem. We went there first. That's the first place we went to. And we went to Bethlehem and saw the place where Jesus actually was birthed there. There's a church over it. There's churches over most of these places. Put up one more. I think we have one more. When you go to this, that's the Garden Tomb. We visited the Garden Tomb. We went to Peter's house. We went to we had dinner on the Lake Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. We went through a lot of things. We went on the Mount of Olives, not Mount of Olives, but the Beatitudes, where Jesus preached and taught the Beatitudes. We went to all of these places. So the Bible is real to us. I mean, you know, we know where these things happen. We went to places that was sort of scary, like they bringing out machine guns because it was just somebody attacking some Israelis at a bus stop. I mean, it was serious. There's places we couldn't go because there was violence going on at the time. This was 2014. We went with Dr. Fred and Betty Price, and that was actually our 40th anniversary. That's where we went for our 40th anniversary. And the Godots, here we were going, said, "We going too." I said, "It ain't your anniversary. Stay home." But he's the one that recommended me to Dr. Price's Fellowship of Inner City Word of Faith Ministries.
This was the last trip that Dr. Price ever took to Jerusalem.
Yeah, he never went again.
Every year he would go.
Yes.
You know, because he has a national audience, and they would go basically every year.
But anyhow, so I've got hundreds of photos. So as I'm teaching now, I will bring to you some of these photos to let you see what were, you know, the Jordan River.
Margaret, if you have anything to bring them, because we can load them up.
So we'll show these things to you so you can be able to have a handle. Because when we talk about the Middle East, we talk about Jesus, we talk about salvation and all, it's real. It's real. The Golgotha that looks like a skull, We got that photo. I mean, you know, it's just amazing what happens there. The Garden Tomb, which all of this is so close to each other because they didn't have, you know, Volkswagens and Mercedes. They had to walk to all these places. So the Garden Tomb is right there by where Jesus was crucified. It's all very close, and you're going to learn some things as we go through the book of Romans. Are you ready for that? Okay, let me give you one more thing, and I'm going to leave you alone. Okay, one more thing. The origin of the Roman church is involved in some obscurity, and it had been founded by St. Peter, according to the later tradition. The absence of any allusion to him, both in this epistle as well as in the letters written by St. Paul from Rome, would admit of no explanation. It is equally clear that no other apostle was like the founder. Okay, so those are some of the things that we need to learn. The church, I gave you the date, AD 58. That's after Jesus' death, of course. And so thank God that we're going to be able to study the book of Romans and get some things out of it. We'll go to Romans 1:17 in advance of going to Romans 1:1 and reading through that way. We'll maybe read one or two first scriptures, but then we'll go to about 17 because we need to talk about what's going on in this life now. Also, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1 through about verse 6 or 7. We'll go over that. Did you enjoy tonight? Get something out of it? Praise the Lord. Come on, why don't we give God some praise and just thank Him for what we did receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord. We seal this time in the word in Jesus' name. Satan, I got to remind you, though you come immediately to steal the word, you're not doing that with this tonight. This word has gone into good ground to bring forth great fruit in abundance, to cause lives to change in Jesus' name. And I remind you that you are on your way to the lake of fire. So we resist you. The Bible says if we resist you, you must flee. So we command you, leave. You cannot steal this word. This word is going into good ground, and it's now planted in that ground and bringing forth great fruit in abundance. In Jesus' name, we call it done. Everybody said, amen.